The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
This week we read Parshas Shoftim, and tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Elul. So on today's shiur we will address in the midst of this week's parsha, I will also speak a bit about the essence of Chodesh Elul. But before we embark on our journey today, I just want to dedicate the shiur Le'ilui Nishama for Reb Menachem Yitzchok ben Reb Yankov Yisrael. Today is his yahrzeit, the late father of my dear friend Reb Chaim Orlinsky, who was like a brother to me. He and his entire family. And I spent many hours with Reb Menachem Yitzchok in Chaim's home, in his home in Borough Park. He was an outstanding Jew. As a young boy, when the Nazis entered his town in Poland, he fled to the forest. And from the forests, he fought the Nazis with partisans, and he survived miraculously. And many times he told me his story, his miraculous story of survival. And after the war, Baruch Hashem, he had the schus of raising such a beautiful family, bonim uvnei bonim oiske b'toyra v'vemitzvahs. So the Torah we learn today should be Le'ilui Nishmas, Nishmas Reb Menachem Yitzchok ben Reb Yankov Yisroel, should be a Melech Yosef for his unbelievable and beautiful family. The topic we'll discuss today is Baal Tashchis, which is a fascinating and also an extremely relevant sugya. In this week's parsha, Ki Totzor al Ir Yomim Rabim Le'elochem Aleu Letovso Lo Tashchis Es Eitzel L'Ndoyach Olav Garzen Ki Memenu Tochal Voto lo tichrois, ki o odam eitza soda, lavo mipanecha bemotzoyo. So it's a prohibition, it's a law not to destroy atzei pri, fruit-bearing trees. But it is not only the trees that you cannot destroy. Rambam perigvav alochaches and hilchas malochim, the Rambam brings and defines the Isser of Baal Tashchis. Ein koitzitzim ilonei machal. Ve'ein mone mehem amas amayim kedei shi yityabshu shenema aloi tashchis es eitzo. And the Rambam continues in Alochi Yud and he writes, Ve'lohu ilono is bilvad. Ela kol ha'mesha ve'keilem ve'koreya be'godam. Ve... Hoyres binyan, v'sotem mayan, u'ma'abed macholis derech hashchosa, oivor belo tashchis, v'ein oiloike, elomakas maris midivreyem. On one hand, the Rambam writes, you destroy anything that is fitting for the benefit, for the pleasure of human beings. Oivor belo tashchis, ein oiloike, elomakas maris midivreyem. As we all know, usually Makas Mardis is an Issa Derabonon. If it's a Lav Menatoyr, it's Makas Arboim. So on one hand, the Rambam writes Oive Beloy Sashris. On the other hand, so why is it only Makas Mardis? This is a major discussion between Achroinim. Is it an Issa Diuraisa or not? Does the Issa Diuraisa apply only to Atzei Pri? Because that's what the Pusik says. Memenei Toichal Va'oisei Lo Tichrot. That's the opinion of Mari Basan Semekuf Aleph, Chuvas Noide Biyuda, Tinyoni Yoredei Reishud, Chai Odom, Klal Yud Aleph, Sifla Midbeis. But it's against Pashtas Noshan Rambam. The Rambam writes, Oive Belo Tashchis. And I think it's also obvious from the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Lo Tase Nun Zayin, She is Yironu Mahashchis Weilonis, Velachiv Lehem, Hu Amoro Yisola. lo sashres seitzer, and then the Rambam writes v'chein kol hefsed nechnas tachas lav ze kigon mishiyisrof beged lerik o yishbor kli gam kein oiver mishum lo tashres v'loike. So the Rambam here once again writes oiver mishum lo tashres v'loike. Probably v'loike is makas mardis. In my humble opinion, and this is a yesoid I elaborated on in Minchas Osher Bereishis, in the old Madura, Madura Aleph, it was Mem Daled, Baruch Hashem, in the recent Madura, it is Samech Vav. And this is such a huge yesoid, B'Toyres HaRambam, that I wonder why I'm not aware of any of the Achronim to elaborate on this yesoid. And I brought 7 different sources. In the Rambam's Torah, the mitzvah satori yesh ikar v'toisefes. I never use the expressions, the definitions, ikar v'tofel. The Torah seinu akdoisha, there is no tofel. I prefer using other definitions. Yesoid v'binyan, anaf v'shoirish, ikar v'tosefet. Bein b'mitzvah sasei, bein b'mitzvah slotase. There's the Iker Mitzvah, which is Mufurish B'Torah, and additions. And those additions might be Medrosha, Mehilchasa, Mesvora, but there's a difference between Iker and Tosefes. Belavim, it's the Rambam's opinion, Ein Malkas Elo al Iker alav, HaMufurish B'Torah, and all the Tosafot might be Menatorah, but there's no Malkas. And that is the way I understand Bal Tashchis. What we find in the Torah is Atzei Pri. Loi Tashchis es Eitzo. Mimeno Tochal va'oisoi loi Tichrois. That is what the Torah says. Chazal come along and Chazal say, we understand. Beruach Kotshom u'bo'oimik binosom. That the love includes every Hashchosa. You're not allowed to destroy anything that people might have benefit from, that people might enjoy. So you are not entitled to destroy anything in this beautiful, wonderful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But on that addition, there is no Malkus, because that is Tosefes. It's not Mefurish B'Torah. So Rishonim and Achronim grapple with the Rambam Perek Ches Alocha Tozayim and Macholos Asuris. The Rambam writes, there are Macholos Asuris that are also Ba'anoa, but there's no Malkus on Isra Hanoa, only on Isra Achila. Why not? Those Macholos Asuris that are also Ba'anoa, it's definitely Mena Torah. Psochem Chufarav, that's Rav Avu. Kol Mokom. Where the Torah says, Lo yoichal, Lo yisoichlo, Echad Yisrachil, Ve'echad Yisalu, Ba'mashva. So why would there be Malkus only in Yisrachil and not in Yisrachil? The Magid Mishnah has one derech, Sefer Achinuch has another, V'lani Yisdaiti, Mokem Henichu Men HaShamayim Lehizgadar. Because both the Magid Mishnah that says it's Shaloka Derech Hanoah and Sefer Achinuch that says it's Alav Sheim B'maisa are Atayim Megidoyla. And I say, because the Ikar Alav is Achila. And what the Torah says is, Lo yoichlo, and even those Yisurei Noah that are not Baloshan Achila, but the Ikar Alav is Achila. That is the primary Hanoah. That is the Hanoah Chashuva. And most Yisurei Hanoah, that is what the Torah says. Al kein lo yoichlo. And therefore, there's no Malkus only on Achila, not on Anoa. Ein Malkus ela alo ikar v'alo yala tasefes. And we move on to another aloha nilchas macholos asuris. Peregimar aloha vov, the Rambam writes, Cholov, beitzim, from minim to mayim are asur. Ein Malkus. Because the Torah says, mipsorom lo tochelo. And this is not bosor. This is not the meat of the animals. It's the eggs. It's the milk. It's an isedi uraisa kolayoytsa menatomei tomei. That's a Mishnah Mesechet Chulin. but there is no Malkus, because it's not Mipsorum lo tochelu. Helcheshchita perakei aloha gimel, the Rambam is machalek between Dusa and the other Sheva Treifos. I don't want to go into a complicated sugya, but once again it's Mefurish in Rambam. There's a difference between the Ikra Isser of Treifa and Hoysafos, which are not Mefurish b'Torah, only Mehilchasa. And maybe the most important sources in Hilchas Avodis Kerchov and Pere Gimel Aloche Gimel, the Rambam writes, Gipuf v'nishuk l'avodazoras and Isser Diuraisa, because it's also defined as Avodah. But there is no Malkus, only an Hishtachavoya and other actual Avodas. But expressions of love and admiration to Avodazora are an Isser Diuraisa. It is included in Losa Avdeim, but it's not Pashtus, Kavonas Aposuk, and that is why there is no Malkus. Five sources regarding Lavin, two more regarding Mitzvah Sasei. Perekvav aloch yud zay melchus yomtev, Kosov Arambam. Afar pishe ikar mitzvah simchus yomtev vabosa shlomim. Shalmei chagigi bizman shabeis amigdash hayokayim. Bechlal mitzvah zu, sheyeh ish samech v'toiv lev, hu v'meisoy v'bonov, kol echud b'ra'ui lo, anoshem b'bosa v'yay, anoshem b'bigdet savoynim, tienoikes b'kloyes v'agoyzim. The Rambam clearly says, ikar ha-mitzvah is bosa shlomim. Bechlal ha-mitzvah, each and every member of the family, b'ra'ui lo. Source number 7, Mitzvah Sasei, Peite, Sefer HaMitzvahs, Achilles Kodshim. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara Psochem Nuntes. How do we know there's a mitzvah for Koyanim to eat Kodshim? V'ochlu oisam ha-shekupar behem. Malamet she-Koyanim oichlim ve-banam eschaplim. That's the lesson of the Gemara. The Pesuk refers to Kodshim Kodshim hanacholim le-Koyanim. How about Kodshim Kalim? How about Truma? The Rambam writes, Kodshim Kalim hanacholim le-balam ve-Truma. Nigrorim achrei ha-mitzvah. I don't recall anywhere in the Rambam, neither in Mishneh Torah nor Sefer Mitzvahs, a similar expression, similar definition. Nigrorim achrei ha-mitzvah. Once again, that is a Tosefes. The Ikar mitzvah definitely, like Chazal described, Koyanim oichlim ve-balim iskaprim, but Kodeshim kalam and Truma nigrorim achrei ha-mitzvah. That is my understanding of Baltashas. Yes, it's an Issa Diuraisa. Hameshabe Kalim vahamebesh mayan vakorea begonim vahamaif sadoichlim. But there is no Malkus. Twice in Shas, Vova Kamet Sadak Aleph Amid Beis Vova Basachov Vova Med Aleph, we learned that besides the Issa, besides the prohibition, it is also a sakona to destroy an Eitz Pri. And if Chanina says, I lost a child because I destroyed a fruit-bearing tree. Regarding the sakana, it definitely isn't relevant only to an Eitz Pri, and not to Kelim or Oichlim or Begodim or anything else. So the sakana and the Issa are not exactly the same, but in my opinion, they are two sides of the very same coin. In another few minutes, we'll discuss the circumstances, the cases in which it is permissible to destroy a tree that bears fruit. And the question is, when there is a heter, is there still a sakana? Or maybe no. If it's mutter, there can be no sakana. Two giants of Torah, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Shilas Yavetz, Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, and the Divrei Chaim, Yoredeya Chelek Beis, Simenun Zayin, both feel that even when it's mutar, there might still be a sakana. And to me, that's a gewaldig chiddush. How could it be? If it's a sakana, how could it be mutar? Zois v'oid. Chulin nun zayin amid beis. The Mishnah speaks about various different treifas. So a venomous snake bit a chicken. The Gemara says, mutar mishum treifa, aval osa mishum sakonas nefoshes. Why don't Chazal say, destroying a tree, b'mokam heta, mutar mishum baltashas, aval osa mishum sakonas nefoshes? So to me it would be a gewaldig chiddush to say, even when it is halachically permissible, there still might be a sakona. Most achroinim maintain ha b'hatalia. Chaves yosem akuf tzadik hei beishlem yoredei akuf tzadik alef. Shalas etshuvas chayim shol v'chido, and many others. But some achroinim are very machmir in this sugi, because whenever Chazal say there is a sakona, we just try to keep away. I have a great brother living in America in Union City, New Jersey, and in his backyard there's a pear tree. And those fruits, that fruit is not in any way ra'ui l'achila. It's full of worms. He never enjoyed one pear, and it's so filthy, he cannot enjoy the backyard. But at the time he asked our great Rebbe, the Kloisenberg Rebbe, the Divrei Yatzev, and the Divrei Yatzev is an enikel, both of the Divrei Chaim and the Avni Tzedek, and both are very machmi in this aloha. So the Rebbe told him, don't touch that tree. And he never did. In my backyard, I have a lemon tree. Unlike my brother's pear tree, my tree gives the most beautiful lemons in the world. Never did I see such lemons as I have in my backyard, and sometimes when I get a beloved guest, I tell him, pick some lemons, you're going to have the best lemons in the world, and you'll also have an opportunity to be mafresh to the samaisis with a brocha from Tevel Vaday, which is a very uncommon treat that we don't have every day. I also would prefer adding on an additional room to my house instead of having a lemon tree, but it's a beautiful tree, it gives beautiful fruit, so I don't plan to touch it in any way. So this is a discussion regarding sakana. So even though most poskim maintain, and I think that's svara pshuta, if there's no isa, there is no sakana, but some achroinim do not connect the two. Turei Zohar Kuf Tezayin Sif Koton Vav writes, Asru Chazal Liktzoitz Eitz Pri Mishum Sakana, and that is an extreme chiddush. The Taz seems to say that the entire prohibition is because of sakana. So how could we say, even if there is no issa, there still is a sakana? But the Taz seems to be too much of a chiddush. Lo darshinan tame dekra. How do we know that the entire issa is mishum sakana? Well, we made it clear before that there's an issa d'oraisa by kelim, by oichlim, by begodim, and there is no sakana by all the other things. I think we must, maybe it's a shtickel doichig, but we must assume that the Taz doesn't mean to say that the entire is mishum sakana. What the Taz means to say, and the Taz is a mekufta zayni yoredeya, that's the siman dealing with gilui and other sakonas, that regardless of the isser, there's an other reason to aser destroying a fruit tree, and that is mishum sakana, that's the kavana of the Taz. One of the relevant shilas in this area is, the issa to destroy a fruit tree, is that only if you cut the tree off from the stem, from the roots, and you destroy the entire tree and it will never again give fruit? Or even cutting off some branches? I mentioned my lemon tree. Once a year we trim that tree. And that's before Sukkos. Because otherwise I can't build a sukkah. Branches will cover half of my sukkah. So every year before Sukkot, we trim the tree. And if we already trim the tree, we trim it even on the other side as well. Most achroinim maintain that if the tree stays intact and it will give fruit, then there would be no isser. Lo tashchis es eitza. Memeno tochal v'oto lo tichrot. Lechrot v'lashchit means destroying a tree. So as long as you don't destroy the tree, there is no isser. Darkei tshuva kuftet zayin. Sif Koton Nun Aleph brings many different poskim to this conclusion. But it goes against the Toises and Brochas Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Toises asks, why do we need to say there's an Isser of Avoides Elonis, Gizum Ilano, to cut branches off a tree, and Shvias, it's an Isser D'Urais of Lois Sichras Es Eitz, and Toises answers in two different Tirutzim. Why doesn't say most poshet the teretz, the most simple answer? Cutting off branches would be an issa on shvias and shmita, But it's not an Isser of Bal Tashchis. So obviously Tosfos feels it is an Isser of Bal Tashchis. But that is not the opinion of most Achronim. Two great Gedolim of Galitzia. Tshuvas Beis Yitzchok, Yored Echel HaKalakuf Mem Beis, Doivev Mishorim, Tshubin Arov, Chelik Beis Mem Ben Beis, have a Gevaldik Yichivish, and they say, cutting off a branch would not be a Nisar Lav, but it would be Chotz Yishir Osa Ben HaTorah. I think it's too much of a Chiddush. In various different sources in Minchas Oshar, I wrote that most sources indicate Chotz Yishir is only when we're dealing with the concept of a Shior. Kazayas, Ravias, Kisevis Biamekipurim, Groigeres Bamaloch Shabbos. When we're dealing with Bal Tashchis, it's not a concept of a shear, and therefore there would be no Isser of Chotzi Shear or Sol Menatoil. Many Echroinim maintain, when it is legitimate to cut off a tree, preferable to do it with a non-Jew, Shilas Yavetz, Aleph Kufay and Vav, Chaim Shol Chada, Psumim Roish, Simeshin Amedarad writes, maybe when you ask a goy to do something, it's like a groma. 200 years ago, there was a big controversy in the halachic world about this Sefer Psumim Roish. I'm an enik of Rav Mordechai Benet, and he came out very harshly against the Sefer, and he writes, it's not authentic, it's mezuyef, and he also argues that there are some very problematic tshuvas in that sefer. Reb Mordechai Benet says, "Al tashken bo'olecho avlo." You cannot hold the sefer at home, but I do. You'll ask me why. Well, Rabbi Kivege quotes it more than once, so can't be that awful. I also feel that maybe in their days, Reb Mordechai Benet said, it's a sefer she'ein emuga, people might take it seriously, but today nobody takes the sefer seriously. Today we know with beyond doubt that it's a ziuf, that it's not an authentic document, and it has no relevance, no mishkal, no weight at all. So it's an interesting historical document, so I have it, but I don't give it any importance. In my Sforum, I made it very clear. Amidah Anochi has nothing to do with Groma. Akum Edata Denafshe Kovet. He's a human being. He does what he wants to do, and he refrains from doing what he does not want to do. That's not Groma. Groma is starting a process which will come into fruition by laws of nature or technology. But when you ask a person to do something, it is for him to decide whether he wishes to do those or not. That has nothing to do with the Groma. So some Achroinim maintain if you need to cut off a tree, have a non-Jew do it. Preferable, sell it to a non-Jew. And in that case, you're on the safer side. So what are the cases in which it would be permissible to destroy a tree? Well, some are found in the Gemara. The Gemara says if a tree causes damage to other trees which are close by, then you could cut off that tree. And this is very common with farmers, people that are familiar with agriculture. Sometimes you have too many trees, they don't have room to develop, not enough minerals, not enough water. One would diminish the others and the fruit would be compromised. So when a tree might cause damage, you could cut it off. When a tree would cause damage to your home, and that is quite common. When the roots of a tree might disrupt pipelines, and just recently we had it in Taylor, when the first-story neighbor planted trees, and after 15 years, the roots of one of those trees disrupted the sewage system, and it costed thousands of shekelim to cut off those roots and to fix the pipes. Who needs to pay for that? So when a tree would cause damage, either to other trees or to a home or to anything else, it could be destroyed, it could be cut off. That's a Gemara Mefareshes Bava Kama, Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, also quoted in the Rambam, Perek Vav, Hilchos Melachim. Chavos Yosef Mekuf Tzadik Hei, deals with a truth that grew, and it diminished the light of an apartment, of a home. And he writes, it would be justified to cut off those branches, or even to cut off the entire tree. In this case, we're not dealing with direct monetary loss or damages, but rather people want more light. Maybe in an indirect way, it'll bring down the price of the house, but that is not what the Chavos Yoan indicates. Rosh, Bovakame Perikhes, Sav Siman Tezvov, goes another step beyond, and he says, Tzorech Lemekoimoy. According to the Rosh, I would have no problem cutting off the lemon
Kol Halashon
tree in my backyard if I want to build another room. I'm not going to do so. But according to the Rosh, that is muta. Tzorech lemekoimoy. Shuvas Chasam Soifa seems to feel only in Tzorech lemekoimoy for migurim, for your house, but not for any other reasons. If you want to build a swimming pool or a tennis court, you're not allowed to cut off trees, only if you need it for your living quarters. The Rosh doesn't seem to differentiate why you need it. But I do feel it needs to be a legitimate cause, a legitimate purpose. Not a dvorim shel ma bekach, because after all, we're dealing with a prohibition with a lav of loy tashches es eitzah. So I just want to share with you a few fascinating sources in Gemaras regarding what would justify the Isra of Bal Tashchis. Not only cutting off trees, but the broader concept of Bal Tashchis, which is Shviras Kalim, Kriyas Begodim. Brochas Lamed Beis Omed Aleph, the Gemara tells of some great Ameroim that at a wedding, at a chasana, they broke a kli. And Tosis writes, Mikan Nahagu, Brochas Lamed Beis Omed Aleph, L'shbor zechuchis b'shas nisuyin. That is the origin of our minag, to break a glass under the chuppah and break a plate at the mesibas erusin, at the tenoyim. And the rationale is, im loy ala es Yerushalayim aroy simchosi. At the time of utmost simcha, we wish to remember Chorban HaBayis. And that is why we break a glass. And this halacha is brought in the Ramo, Tavkuf Samach Siv Beis, and both the Prima Godem and the Mishnah Berurah explained there would be no Isra of Bal Tashchis because we do it for a reason. Because we want to remember Chorban HaBayis. And it's Musar, and therefore there will be no Bal Tashchis. So if there's a justified reason to do something, there would be no Bal Tashchis. Kedushan Amid Beis Omed Aleph, I think it was Rav Huna that wanted to check Rabbi Rav Huna, his son, whether he's an angry type, whether he is Kodesh as Yitzroy. So he tore a garment in his presence. He wanted to see whether he'll lose his temper. And the Gemara says, Bal Tashchis, he tore it down the seam, which it could be put together and sewed together, and there was no real damage done. But the Gemara says that would be Bal Tashchis. But he's doing it for a purpose. He wanted to check the midas of his son. So obviously, that purpose is not as important as remembering Chorban HaBayis. You should look for another, more legitimate way to test your son's temper and not destroy a beged and not be over on Bal Tashchis. That should be the conclusion. Or maybe we would argue, you could achieve the same goal and tearing the beged in a way in which you're not really causing irreparable damage. And in that case, this is what you need to do. One of the most fascinating Gemaras, and I think this will be my last comment in today's shiur. For personal reasons, I need to make this shiur a bit shorter than usual. But in the written version that we also distribute and send out, there will be many more sources than in the shiur that I'm presenting to you right now. But this is one of the most fundamental and important sources in Shas regarding Baal Tashchis. So before discussing the Gemara, I want to share with you various different questions. And these questions are troubling and extremely relevant. In Israel, the government destroys huge quantities of fruits and vegetables every year on a steady basis just to keep prices reasonable. Farmers can never exactly figure out how much produce the country will need. And there are hundreds of tons of extras, odafim, which the government destroys. Because if the markets will be overflowed, prices will come down, the farmers won't make a decent profit, too much work for too few dollars. So to keep the market viable, the government destroys odafim. Is that permissible? Would that be a problem of Baal Tashchis? So the only country in the world that would ask shilas of this nature is Israel. A Yiddish Medina, after all. Is that permissible? You're taking fruit and vegetable, which is fitting for consumption, which is great and beautiful, and you're destroying it. In the micro, similar question from the IDF. So one of the most strict rules in the IDF is any food that left the kitchen will never go back into the kitchen, must be disposed of. And the reasoning is twofold. The army doesn't want soldiers to have any food poisoning or any other problems brought about by food that might have been spoiled. The army doesn't want to lose days of imunim, of practice. The army can't afford soldiers being sick. And therefore, any drop of food that leaves the kitchen would never get back into the kitchen. In your private home, leftovers, some of them might go back to the fridge, back to the freezer, back into the kitchen. If you didn't like it in the morning, you might like it in the evening. But in the army kitchens, whatever leaves the kitchen will never go back. It will go into the trash bin. And sometimes huge quantities of food are thrown away. The other reason is tviot mishpatiot. There might be those that have some mild food infection and they'll go to court. Is that permissible, taking huge quantities of wonderful food and throwing it away? Super micro, mashgichei kashrus. Sometimes a mashgich, whether it's a restaurant or a store, must put his foot down and say, you broke the rules, this is going to the garbage. So in every area, there are different rules of kashrus. When we're dealing with the Frosha Stonus of Isis, and a Mashgiach says, when you get the Pratis in the morning, you will not bring it into your store until I come and I'm after Stonus of Isis. And the Mashgiach comes, that's in the store. And the boss says, I brought it in the store, you could do different Isis here. Or 1,000 different scenarios, and sometimes the Mashgiach must put his foot down. Otherwise, he will lose his entire power of deterrence. And he says, this will not be used. This will go to the garbage because you broke the rules. Is that legitimate? It's Baal Tashchis. The fundamental question is it legitimate to destroy food that is fitting for consumption for a futuristic chashash? There is no nezek right here and now. There is no benefit right here and now. So the government will destroy hundreds of tons of produce just to keep this entire branch profitable, viable. The army will destroy tons of foods just because they don't want any claims in court and they don't want to lose Yemei Imunim. The Mashgiach will destroy food because otherwise he's afraid that he will lose his entire deterrence, his entire power to see to it that people follow the rules. So the source is in Tanis Chof Amid Beis. An amazing story Chazal tell about Rav Huna, one of the greatest Amiroim. He had a minag every Erev Shabbos afternoon. He used to go to the market and buy all the leftovers. And what did he do with those leftovers? He went straight to the river, dumped them into the river. Why did he do so? Rav Huna the Tzaddik was afraid if the peddlers and the shop owners and the farmers won't be able to sell their produce, then in the coming weeks they'll bring less. They don't want to go away with the loss, with monetary loss. And if they bring less, then Oinik Shabbos will be diminished. So Rav Huna ordered everybody to go happily home with maximum profit. Whatever was left over, he paid Tavan Itkilin. He bought it all at the full price. And then he dumped it into the river. So the Gemara says, why didn't he distribute it to the Aniyim? Because Rav Huna was afraid the Aniyim would rely on him. And maybe next week there would be no leftovers. In 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, next month, next year. And the Aniyim will be left without food because they relied and they hoped he's going to bring them leftovers for free. So Rav Huna did not give out that food to the Aniyim. He dumped it into the river. Is that Bal Tashchis? What I learned from this Gemara is, it is legitimate to take into account the indirect results. Not right here and now, but next week or next month. And it is legitimate. On one hand, he didn't want the farmers and the shop owners to lose money. And that is why he bought the produce. On the other hand, he did not give it out to the Aniyim because he didn't want them to rely on him because maybe in another time there will be no leftovers and they will be left without Oinik Shabbos, without enough food. So he dumped it into the river and this proves it is legitimate. And that is my source for leniency in 1, 2, 3, in all the three questions I presented, and it was Malal Shulchan Malach. And I definitely suggest those that have access to the Shiur HaShavui that we sent out in emails every week to thousands of people, I definitely would recommend learning the Kuntres because there's far more material there than I shared with you today. So today is Erev Rish Chodesh Elul as I am giving this Shiur in Kol HaLashon. And Shabbos Mevorchim, Elul, the story goes that Rabbi Sol Salanta used to faint every year. Just mentioning Elul strikes a chord in every Jewish heart, a chord of Emes Yoyim Hadin. Minig Ashkenaz, we blow shofar every day of the morning. And the Navi says, Im Yatoka shofar Be'ir Va'am, Lo yechrodu. But Elul is not really about Midas Adin. It is more about Midas Arachamim. There are many Ramazim associated with Elul, but the most famous one, the source is in Kisvei Ari. But this Ramaz is found not only in Sifra Kabbalah, Sifra Chassidus, the Mat Ephraim brings it, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, and Tavkuf Pei Aleph. Elul is Rosh Tevis ani ledoidi vedoidi li. Where is the source of this pasuk? It's not in Pirchei HaTechocha, the prokim of Musar and Techocha of Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Amos, Hoshea ben Be'eri. It's not in Iov. It's not a Megillas Echa. It's in Shir HaShirim. And Shir HaShirim is not about Yira. Shir HaShirim is a love story between the Doid and the Raya, between Kudesh U'Barichu, and Knesset Yisroel. The Rambam Perek Yud of Hilchas Tshuva, this entire Perek is dedicated to Midas or Ahava. And the Rambam exalts Midas Ahava. It is far greater than Midas Ayiro. And the Rambam writes, Kol Sefer Shir Ashirim, Moshel Hu Le'inyan Hazeh. We are the Raya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Doid, desperately looking for each other. And they don't seem to connect. Imre Isem is Doidi, Chomak, Horachloi. So this is a love story. And this is what Elul is all about. Ani ledoidi, vedoidi li. So the Tshuva Noida Biyuda was asked whether an oval should be a chazan in Yemei Aslichas. Because the minig is that an oval does not daven for the Omed in Yom Niroim. And the rationale of this minig is because Yom Niroim are Yemei Din. And we need a chazan that's Moira Rachamim. And Midas Adin is Shoyra Alo Oval, and that's why stay away from the Yomid. So they asked the Noidi Biyuda, how about Slichas? And the Noidi Biyuda says, of course he should be a Chazan Slichas, because Slichas is not Midas Adin. Yemei Adin start Rosh Hashanah. Elul is all about Rachamim. Elul is a gift. A gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his beloved children. Take advantage of Elul. Be ma'orer midas orachamim terem yavo yemei hadin. Elul is ahava. Elul is all about ani ledoidi vedoidi li. So let's take advantage of these magnificent, beautiful, and wonderful days of Chodesh Elul. Ani ledoidi vedoidi li. This pasuk appears in two different versions and variations in Sefer Shir Hashirim. Perik Beis, the Pusik says, Doidi Liva Anilo. Perik Vav, the Pusik says, Anila Doidi. Vidoidi Li, Haroe Bishoshani. What's the difference between Perik Beis, Doidi Liva Anilo, and Perik Vav, Anila Doidi, Vidoidi Li? Very clear difference. Medrash Rabbah Parshas V'Zois HaBrocha, the Medrash says, there's an eternal argument, as to say, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands, Shuvu Elai V'Ashuvu Aleichem. You must make the first step. Shuvu Elai, and only then Ashuvu Aleichem. And we plea, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuv. Bring us home. Bring us unto you, and we promise to do tshuva. There's a Hasidish story told about the Rabshitzer, Reb Natzolot Tzvi of Rabshitz. He was one of the greatest disciples of Reb Elimelech Melezhens de Noyem Elimelech, and he was the great Rebbe of the Divrei Chaim, of the Tzanza. As the story goes, he was once sitting in his wagon, in a very rainy day in the Polish winter, 200 years ago, one of the wheels sank into the mud. And the balagola whips the horses. It's not working. He leaves his seat, goes to the back of the wagon, and puffs and pushes, and to no avail. Goes around, knocks on the door, where the Rebbe is sitting, and he says, Rebbe, Sepasnisht, I'm fully aware it's not appropriate, but if you want to get home, I don't see any other option. If you don't mind, Toive Mashnayim and Oechad, let's try together. What did the Rebbe do? I assume, V'yifin koi v'choi v'yaki einish, and he gets out of the wagon, and they huff and they puff and they push together. It ain't budging. So the Heiliger Rav Shitzarov lifts his eyes to the heavens and he says, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I believe in Hashgacha Pratis, and there's no question in my mind. I know, I'm fully aware, I know you stuck me in the mud because you want me to do tshuva, but it's a bit hard to do tshuva when you're wet and you're freezing cold and you're sinking in the mud up to your knees. Bring me home and I promise to do tshuva. that Apshitzerov didn't refer to his own personal predicament on that particular rainy day in Poland. What he was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I believe in Hashgacha Pratis, and I know we're stuck in the mud for the past 2,000 years, and I know what the reason is. You want us to do tshuva. But Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you see it ain't working. We've been stuck in this mud for 2,000 years, and we didn't get there. It's hard to do tshuva when you're pained, and you're hurt, and you're cold, and you're shivering, and you're wet, and you're stuck in the mud up to your hips. Bring us home, and we'll do tshuva. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'nashuvo. And that is the difference between doidi li v'ani lo. That is the way we would prefer it. First doidi li, and then we promise ani lo. And the other posak ani le doidi v'doidi li. If we would have it our way, we would prefer having a month dalul, not elul. Dalul would be doidi li v'ani lo. That's the first version in Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis. But there's nothing you can do about it. Look in all the sources, nowhere will you find a month named Dalul. It's Elul. Can't change that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists there's no other way. Ani le doidi, and only then doidi li. Shuvu elai v'ashuva eleichem. Don't despair. Tired breather. Don't despair. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists, Ani le doidi v'doidi li, but he isn't asking for that much. Pischu li pesach kechudoi shel machat. That is all he's asking for. Like the tip of the needle. Pischu li pesach kechudoi shel machat. If we would all be sitting in the same besmedesh right now, and I would hear you, I would ask, Pischri Pesach ke Pischri Shel Machad Va'az, and most of you will cry out and shout out, V'ani Yeftach Lachem Pesach ke Pischri Shel Ulam. Yes, that is what people say. But that is nowhere in Chazal. What Chazal say is far more comforting. And we have far more Chizuk. Pischri Pesach ke Pischri Shel Machad V'ani Yeftach Lachem Ptachim. Not one gate, not one door, but many. Ani eftach lachem psochim shu agolois v'kroinois ovrim behem. And what type of agolois, what type of kroinois? Whenever I mention the Medrash, I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't deal with empty wagons. He has no empty wagons. Pischuli pesach ke pischuli shel machad v'ani eftach lachem psochim shu agolois v'kroinois ovrim behem. And those agolois and those kroinois will be packed and full of bona, chaya, mezoine reviche, barias gufe, venora ma'alia, nachas from your children, arichas yomim vishonim. All I demand is pischuli pesach ke pischuli shel machat. Im loy achshov, ei mosai. This is the time. Elul is approaching. And we're still in the midst of a terrible pandemic. I think we approach Elul with broken hearts. It's a difficult time. People are dying, people are suffering, and we're all very concerned. Yesterday, I spoke to Kehillas HaKodesh in South America. Yes, in the East Coast, Northeast, people are calmer. But I've been hearing that the numbers, there are ticking up. South America is still horrific. In Israel, we are in the midst of a huge second wave. So we approach Elul this year, not in the best of moods. We are very concerned. So maybe we'll have a more meaningful Elul than we had in the past. Kodesh Baruch is calling out to us. That's the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Taanios. When we suffer, we must believe it's hashgacha. Like the Rav Shitzer said, I know why we're stuck in the mud. We gotta do tshuva. This is the time. It's Elul. Tshuva tefillah v'tzedakah mavir hanesroya hagzeira. Each and every one of us needs to open up that Pesach in your own heart. It is you. Pischori Pesach ke pischori shel machad. Each and every one of us should open that gate and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. Tshuva betfilah betzdaka. Chesed. Taira. Kviyasitim la Taira. Shashua shel Taira. And doing chesed. Chesed has many forms. Begufoy, bememoynoy. We should all think of others. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu yarachem aleinu. Kol malachim al habriyos malachim olav min hashamayim. Tich lashona v'kir lo yiseyu toch lashona v'berch yiseyu. We should all have a shona toiv v'mesuko. We should all have a meaningful and fruitful elul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishlach lanu Mashiach tzedkenu b'mehiro v'yomeinu amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.